Item C, Cemetery Ground Maintenance Service Contract. Jessica, are you going to take the lead on this, or is Mike going to do that?
No, I can do it.
Okay, great.
At our last regular City Commission meeting on February 22nd, the City Commission approved to allow staff to open a bid for the Cemetery Grounds Maintenance Services with the bid closing Wednesday, March 2nd at noon. This process was advertised through social media, the Boyne City Chamber newsletter, and on the city's website. Included with the memo are four bid pricing sheets that we received. Within those bids are those that the Commission agreed to include that were received by staff after the original bid closing of the invitation to bid in October of 2021. The lowest price bidder was from At Your Service Lawn and Snow LLC for an amount of $138,000 for 3 years of service. After discussion with Jacob Blues, owner of At Your Lawn Service, it was my opinion that he does not have the experience needed to take on a job that entails the demands and work needed to maintain the cemetery grounds maintenance. He is a new business owner without experience servicing cemeteries or other similar projects of this scope. I would encourage him to submit a bid the next time we go out for bids, as by this time he may possess the experience necessary. The second lowest bid was from Northern Michigan Escapes for an amount of $140,000 for 3 years of service, including fertilization. They have provided our cemetery grounds maintenance service since 2019, excluding fertilization. They are familiar with the scope of the work and have a full understanding of what the job entails. The third lowest bid came from Jim Habasco and Lawn Services for an amount of $186,423 for 3 years of service. The fourth bid was from Northern Lawn and Service for an amount of $282,400 for 3 years of service. With that, it was my recommendation to approve a 3 year service contract with Northern Michigan Escapes to provide the cemetery grounds maintenance.
Thank you very much. Any other staff comment? We'll get to them just a second. Mike, do you have anything to add?
Not at this time. Other than I support a recommendation.
All right, now public comment. Barb?
I was wondering, Wilson Cemetery, that's the one that's right off Division Street, isn't it?
It is, yep.
Okay. The cemetery that's there is hasn't been maintained very well at all. And the reason I know this is because I was helping the young man who got the Eagle Scout Award because of the work he did on cleanup in that cemetery and so on. And I had recently part of a huge tree came down, and I'm the one who paid for the American flag that was up there and ruined my flag, so that flag has to be replaced. And you have Civil War there. You have every war represented there from the Civil War on. So I would like to make sure that it is catered for. It is kind of a lost thought, and it's starting to look like it. So I'm glad that you're going ahead and getting a contract and, for people and whoever takes care of it. Because we don't have another Eagle Scout coming along that's willing to do it for the summer. So, but we'll need another flag.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we can move to commission discussion. I think Marty, would you like to start?
I'd like to start. In going over the bids, and I respect Jessica's comments, I guess my biggest issue was Northern Michigan's case didn't even bid the Wilson Cemetery part. So technically, there's a $8,000 difference between the lowest bid and the second lowest bid. So that changes things a little bit in my mind. If you had the Wilson Cemetery and then it was the $138,000 bid. As far as experience goes, I don't know how long Jacob Blues has been doing it. Did he say, Jessica?
He doesn't even have his first job yet.
Okay.
If he did, he would only have one other job this summer, he anticipates.
Can I ask one question? Is his business in Boyne City?
No, so he's Hillman, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Hillman.
Thanks, Marty.
Who's what?
Hillman?
What is that? Business in Hillman.
He lives in Hillman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Michigan.
Yeah, okay. To put that in perspective, Northern Michigan Escapes was not in the lawn business until about 3 years ago. So they were a new company when we basically gave them the bid. So I understand, I respect what you're saying. Knowing that it doesn't have a lot of customers, that's a little bit different. You got to start somewhere. But, of the other two, I don't know how long Garden of the Lawn has been in business, but I know Jim has been for 40 years, and he actually used to do this in business at some point in time. He does the harvest now. So I guess I'm not a fan. I appreciate the work that you put into it, Jessica, of the Northern Michigan Escapes bid, because we got duped the last time. I was actually explaining this the other day. There have been plenty of things that I've bid in 36 years of business, and when I lost, I lost. And I didn't go back to who I lost and say, hey, you got to help me. I didn't appreciate that when that happened this last time, and I see us setting up for the same thing, quite frankly. So if we didn't want to go with, Jacob, I would even go up to Jim's bid. With that being said, I would also, at the numbers that we're getting in for these bids, we talked about it a little bit, last year. I would even entertain looking, if we could, at just hiring someone. If you took the mowing in the summer, and you double $50,000, that's $100,000 to hire an employee for the year, and now you've got them for the rest of the season for snow removal, whatever may see fit at DPW or whatever. So I think that's just my opinion. I'm not in favor of the $140,000 bid. I would go with any of the other two bids, and I really think that we could look to hire an employee and give the DPW some help and get the cemetery taken care of, in one fell swoop. That makes sense.
Thanks, Marty. George?
Yeah, I guess I'd like to ask. Does anybody in the city know? Does the city already own the equipment necessary to maintain the cemeteries?
We have to spread our equipment thinner. We believe we have the equipment to do it. Before he left, and as we was working on this before, Mr. Foss did an analysis with regards to what would cost us to do it in-house. And it depends on whether we hired part-time, seasonal employees or full-time employees. If we hired full-time employees, his estimated cost at this time for the half a year that they would be working in the cemetery only would be just under $80,000. So we'd be comparing a price of $45,000 to $80,000 if we wanted to hire two people of our own to do it. And he basically says it'd take two people 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, for 26 weeks a year to maintain the cemetery.
Okay. The diagram that you have there, remember that you're reading off and referencing?
Yeah. What about it?
Is there any way I can see that?
I can pass it to you in a second, sure. And then the other estimate that he came up with was for part-time employees, seasonal help. He came up with the estimate of that would be about $56,000 a year. So, and I can make additional copies of that. Maybe we'd like to see that.
And I remember Tim saying something about equipment. And so this has the equipment right here. pickup truck, the zero-turn mower, And we have all this on hand right now. Because then he said we would have to get additional backpack blower, additional trimmer.
Well, that shows that he accounted for all the equipment. Whether we have to, you know, again, our equipment gets used for all the other parks and things that we're maintaining now. We have pickup trucks, but whether we have enough of it to spread it around, I would think at over at some point we have to get additional equipment.
George?
Which would just increase our costs.
Did you want to say this, George? Because this has the equipment and everything, the additional costs.
Yeah, actually, I would.
So, Mike, you said it was $80,000 for full-time?
For two full-time people and the equipment and the fuel for half a year. So if you hired those two people, that'd be $160,000 to have them do other stuff at the offices. And then it was about, and George, you've got the number right in front of you on the second page at the bottom there. 56, I think it was for the two part-time.
Correct.
Just a little bit, but not much.
Okay. So the numbers, correct me if I'm wrong, the numbers prove that by subbing out the contract is cheaper than doing it in-house, either way, part-time or full-time?
At this time, yes.
According to Tim Foss's, and,
correct.
I trust Tim's numbers. I'm good. I did the math
here. And just to be, you know, I think that's worth taking a look at with regards to once we have a new DPW person on board, to, you know, always look and see if there's ways to do work better or more economically, you know, year-round, kind of the things that Marty's talking about. But at this time, without a DPW head, you know, probably not having another one for a month or so at the earliest, this is a time where we need to come up with somebody. And it should also be noted that the city has the ability, even if we approve the contract, if somebody isn't working out to our satisfaction, we have the ability to give them, I think it's 30 days notice or something of that nature, to, if we come up with a better idea somewhere along the way.
Okay. Tom, you might want to say this.
Yeah.
To clarify,
okay,
the wages are $42,000. We're billing back from DPW for use of the equipment. That's where it comes up to $80,000. I think that's a big difference. That's part of my problem with the second bid, was they didn't even bid Wilson Cemetery. They said, no, thank you. We don't care to. I'll do whatever the commission wants, but I just thought it looked like an opportunity to, you know, add someone, and then there was a lot of discussion. This is going to be a different topic, but Mike knows, wintertime, the Main Street Board had a long discussion about, you know, the DDA and, you know, the sidewalks and everything like that, the business sidewalks, and, you know, having those taken care of. So that's where I saw an opportunity to maybe put someone on and handle that. But I think it's interesting to note that wage-wise, you know.
I agree with you that adding personnel, we can certainly use them 12 months. We've talked about that for years. And the guys from the DPW department always are saying, hey, we need more help. But with that being said, if we're looking at best cost for the city, I would say the 140 is the way to go, because it's cheaper than us doing it in-house.
Let me ask.
Let me finish up with that. Marty's point about Wilson Township, is the 140 include Wilson Township, even though he did not put a number down there?
So it was my understanding that it does include it. I reached out for confirmation today and I didn't get a response back yet.
Okay.
But that's what they're maintaining both.
They're
the past
maintaining
3 years.
Both last year, or currently, yeah.
Yeah, so. So well, I apologize.
Doesn't sound like it.
Well,
I haven't been over there much.
Yeah, no, I got that.
Okay, so George, you had the opportunity.
Yeah, I just was also curious, how were we duped last time by
came back for a change order for $15,000. And so, I mean, again, you know, maybe I was raised different. When you bid something, you honor your bid. And so, I didn't think, you know, I didn't think it was right the last time. And I definitely, it was sort of, in the way that it was, correct me if I'm wrong, but you two were there at that meeting, and, you know, and so was Mike. But, you know, it was kind of like the gun to the head. Well, we're not going to finish the contract unless you give us another $15,000. So it's kind of like, okay, so we either got to start over or we give you your $15,000. I don't think that's good. I don't think it's good business. I don't like being threatened. And, you know, I don't want to set ourselves up for anything like that again.
Can I ask what the bid was last year that he needed $15,000 more?
You know, I looked that up. Just a second. I think it was 35.
I think you're right.
25, was it? November 2018, solicited bids for maintenance services and three-year contract.
I believe it was 10,000.
Awarded to the Northern Michigan Escapes for annual cost of $25,000, excluding fertilization. And then they, you know, we all have our own word choices. Marty used that word that I might not have used, but Northern Michigan Escapes sought a price increase of $10,000 to $15,000 to cover their expenses through the end of the contract, or it would invoke the termination clause. So they had a termination clause, much like we have a termination clause that Mike just explained with the 30 days. So they were going to execute that. It was towards the end of their contract for the city commission with the recommendation of the DPW director was to get them on the line for $10,000.
So basically they came to us and said they could not continue to do the contract for what they had originally bidded for. And that they were going to exercise that clause to opt out. They had changed personnel on the person that originally bid it, according to them, underbid it, and somebody came in and figured out what their, according to them, what they really needed to cover it with.
Anything else, George?
No, sir.
Tom?
No, I mean, Marty's right, and Mike's right, too. We're caught in the middle. But I would support the recommendation to go with Northern Michigan Escapes.
Okay.
But you bring up some good points, Marty.
Anything else, Tom?
No.
Okay.
Well, it's interesting because I was under Marty's assumption as well that Wilson Cemetery was not included in the bid and it was lined through. Hearing Jessica say that she reached out and didn't get follow-up from them, it would be hard to make the recommendation for them not knowing if that includes Wilson or not. Because if you're looking at that $140K, I would assume the city then would have to take care of Wilson, and then you would start having to look back at these numbers. And then you would look at $140K, looking back at these numbers for the city to cover down on Wilson, and you're looking at numbers that are probably similar closer to Jim. So, whether incomplete or wasn't filled out appropriately, I don't think I wouldn't be able to support it just because it would be wrong for me to tie the city to it not knowing right away if Wilson would be included in that or not. Out of that 140, with that being said, this is something that needs to be resolved. Conversation that's carried over from November to now.
Grass is going to start growing.
Yeah. But that's kind of where I'm sitting. It's like we're looking at 140K. Does that include a question mark?
Well, we could probably structure a motion that would say, you know, that it would need to be included. If it didn't, if it wasn't, it would nullify.
Right.
You know, but it's how we could handle that.
Right.
I think.
And just kind of look like, so same concerns kind of with what Marty's saying, because
I can tell you right now, with these 3 years over, that's 46,666 average. You take that 143 divided by three, but the cost, I mean, just let's talk about fuel costs right now. The fuel cost alone, I can tell you right now, we're probably going to have one or two of these guys come right back in year two in 2023 and say, hey, I'm not making money. Just with fuel costs alone, with that increase. But there's that 30-day clause, so.
Okay. Mike, I was wondering if there, we could maybe reach a compromise here that we could approve this for 1 year to give us time to really get the numbers together and if it was brought in-house, and to just extend the current contract for another year at the rate of 3 years that it would be under their new bid of, I think I had $46,700 and $47,000. If we upped it just for that year, for one more year, or do you think they would, well, I guess, would they walk away if we did that? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the submittal sheets that they included in the packets here. I mean, they did bid on a 3 year, and I don't know if there was other language in here. I don't think there's other language that basically spoke to whether they, you know, whether we could accept it, whether we had to accept it as a total package or as on a year by year basis.
That was going to be my question, was that whole year thing right along the same lines of what he was thinking, but then he said that 30-day clause were kind of,
yeah.
I mean, if you take it as a package and then after year one, you got 30 days to say.
Yes, you could invoke that at any time.
Yeah, yeah. I want to make sure we're fair to our vendors. Well, I could support Jessica's recommendation, if, just to say. So, would there be a motion anybody has? Or is there anything else that anybody has, comments, or questions?
No, I'll make a motion in support, but with the thought that, yes, we have a clause, a termination clause, so that a year from now, after we go through a year of budget, when we have a DPS or DPW foreman, that we can get a better look at in-house. I do know that, you know, if we go in-house, it's going to be a whole budget discussion. It's either you pay me now or pay me later. So it's one of those deals. We do know that currently our current staff can't handle the job. So with that being said, I will make a motion with the recommendation from City Clerk Treasurer Jessica Perrell to approve a 3-year service contract with Northern Michigan Escapes to provide cemetery grounds maintenance services in the Maple Lawn and Wilson cemeteries in the amount of $45,000 for years 2022 and 23 and $50,000 for years 2024 for a total contract of $140,000 and authorize the city manager and city clerk to execute the necessary documents.
Is there a second? I'll second it. Any more discussion?
So just to clarify, we're not where Wilson Township is included.
But my motion says...
Yeah, he put it in.
He said, Wilson. Yeah, he put it in his motion.
So it has to be included. The motion had it already, and I read it verbatim. So I think it's pretty clear we want Wilson Township to be included, or Wilson Cemetery. Not township.
Yeah, and I agree with everything that's been said. Well, almost everything that's been said. But we're kind of in the point where we just need to have somebody doing it for this upcoming year. Our options are not very, we don't have any options. So, anyway, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Jessica?
Conklin.
Aye.
Moody.
Nay.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Lassiter.
Nay.
Nemechek.
Nay.
Motion not carried.
So, where do we go from here?
We'll leave it for city staff to figure out an alternative.
Okay.
Well, the commission can always consider an alternate motion. I mean, we've already got some suggestions with regards to, you know, other bidders that you might entertainer. So another motion,
yeah.
The chair could ask to see if there is another motion, yeah, for further discussion.
Thank you, Mike. Is there, from the commission?
Yeah, well, the only, with Jessica's comments, I mean, I would recommend going with basketball lawn and landscape. And mainly on the assumption that it didn't look like Northern Michigan Escapes was, Benny Wilson anyhow. But at least I know that, the man's been doing it around here for 40 years, and he doesn't play change order games. And so.
I'll make a motion to consider Jim Hotbass. How do you pronounce his last name? Habaska, lawn and landscape, and the bid amount not to exceed $186,423 for the services of lawn care and fertilization at Maple Lawn Cemetery, Wilson Cemetery, knowing, just like Tom stated in his motion, that we have 30 days to expunge that at any point in time, a year down the road, if the numbers aren't making sense after taking a look at in-house costs and expenses.
Support. Okay, any other discussion?
Yeah, I can't support. All of a sudden, we've been talking about money, saving money, lowest bid, and now we jump 46,000. That doesn't make any sense to me. Two local contractors, Abasco and Northern Escape, and one's $46,000 cheaper. Marty, you're always being frugal here, and that motion doesn't make any sense, so I will not support it.
I make a motion that, knowing the cost of Wilson Cemetery, looking at the document drafted by Northern Michigan State.
But my motion included it.
No, I understand what he's saying, that we don't know. And to Hugh's point, if we're addressing this for a year, now you're not talking the difference that you're talking. And I just.
If it had included, the motion would go nowhere, and we would just be looking at this again at the next meeting 2 weeks down the road, right?
For clarification, Northern Escape did do Wilson last year. Correct. So I'm making the assumption, and my backup is my wording, the motion that was defeated. So I still stand by 46,000. It's quite an assumption for the fact that they would include Wilson Cemetery.
Okay, any other discussion? Yeah, there's absolutely no way I can approve this either. So, I can't understand the logic or whatever, but I'll call for the vote.
Okay, Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Nay.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
No.
Motion carried.
So that part on the whole motion, is there going to be a follow-up from the administration in the next year or whatever, as far as looking at costs and numbers, expenses, in-house services?
We can. That wasn't part of the motion, but obviously that was part of the discussion.
Okay, moving on to new business, we have a proposed zoning text amendment to section 24.95B. Scott?
Thank you, Mayor. During a pre-application discussion with a proposed developer of 1030 Bay Ridge, that's up off of Hall Street, it's a 10-acre property, they were looking to parcel that off in four parcels and put a road in there and build homes on those parcels. And part of the discussion revolved around the cost of developing a street. Currently, a private street needs to meet the same standards as a public street, which is 24 feet wide, pavement, and the same gravel and the same pavement widths and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty expensive to do, and the Planning Commission was looking at this and determined that there may be an ability to amend the ordinance to allow a little lesser width of pavement for roads that would serve more like private drives, have a limited number of houses. So a couple of amendments were developed to kind of put this in motion. In section 2495B, basically says right now that there has to be some kind of a unique configuration or topographical issues that require the need to develop a private road. And then if it is even allowed, there's no relief for, it still has to be built up to a city standard, for the city standards. So the Planning Commission directed staff to kind of develop an ordinance to allow for a little lesser requirements. So the changes in there were made for houses or developments with six or less lots could have 16 feet of pavement width. But you know, they'll still all be the same structural standards. So you have the same width of pavement, same compact base, and all those other standards. Just the width of pavement would be 16 feet. And then from 7 to 12 lots, it would go up to 18 feet of pavement. So that was amended to put that in the language. So you look in the section 2495B and the proposed changes there, they're in italics. So it says, a private road shall be constructed to the following design standards. And it takes out those, you know, unique circumstances to approve a private road. And then it stipulates that a private road serving or to serve six or less residential lots shall meet all city appointed city municipal standards, with the exception of minimum pavement width shall be reduced to 16 feet. And then a private road serving or to serve 7 to 12 residential lots shall meet all city municipal standards, with the exception that the minimum pavement may be reduced to 18 feet. And then the last section there, all private roads serving commercial lots, regardless of the number, and private roads serving or to serve more than 12 lots shall meet the design specifications and road construction standards as outlined in the city, Boynton City Municipal Standards. So the Planning Commission reviewed that language and had a public hearing on it on February 21st and recommended to the City Commission to move it to a first reading. So now it's being brought to you for your consideration. And if you want to move forward with the second reading, that could be scheduled no sooner than April 12th of 2022. So I'd be happy to answer any questions you have on what this ordinance amendment proposes.
Scott, was there any public comment at the public hearing?
Well, the representative for the developer was there, and he spoke in favor of it. Other than that, there was no comment.
Is this the old Smith property?
Yeah. Yeah, the house was at the end there. It has an existing driveway there that's called Bay Ridge Lane.
Any member staff input? Mike?
No.
Any questions from the public? Comments? Move to commission.
Mayor, you had a hand in county.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When did they plan to start construction or to put the road in?
Well, they want to move as fast as they can. Obviously, it wouldn't start until, you know, all appropriate approvals are in place.
Okay. Well, we can move to commission for deliberation. Tom, do you want to start?
I'm in full support. This is taking down another barrier, basically a cost barrier. So it's making property inside the city limits more attractive for development.
I'm full support. I was part of the conversations at the Planning Commission as a Planning Commissioner at the time.
Martin?
So I guess my question was, Tom and Tim too, is so I'm confused as how it's a barrier. We have planning and zoning for a reason. My question is, so why do we need to change this? Wouldn't this just be a change that, you know, that's when you come to the planning commission for?
No, the ordinance right now specifically stipulates any private road needs to meet municipal standards. So that falls back to our municipal standards. Dictate a 24-foot wide road. So this needs to be put in there to give that flexibility to the planning commission. Without this, they're locked in to build that full width road.
Without it, basically, that it'd be spot zoning. On a case-by-case basis.
No, it's not spot zoning.
Various, whatever.
You're not changing the zoning of the land. This would apply to any private road in any district.
All right. Well, I understand where you're coming from. I don't, to Tom's point, in the city, we don't have, trying to think of where else. We got tracts of land like that where you're going to be dealing with it anyhow. Like if Tim and Tom, being on the planning commission, and I agree with you, I guess I'm okay with it. I just didn't see it as, I saw it as changing for the development. And, you know, so that's variance.
No, this wouldn't apply to anybody. And
well, I understand, but we're changing it for them.
I understand, but a lot of private road ordinances that I've seen, they have this kind of graduated system, because there's a lot of times where you'll have common driveways between three or four lots. Yeah. There's no provision in our ordinance for any kind of common driveway. So this kind of provides accessibility. So this is more what this is going to function like, a private drive for these limited number of houses.
Okay.
There is one similar scenario to Point City right now where this would be applicable to, with like that shared driveway and that private zoning. And like the conversation we had at the planning board was, well, does this keep 911 services from accessing it? And I think Scott took that opportunity to talk to department heads, and there was no concerns when he came back to the planning commission of like 911 services accessing it. And then I personally, outside of the planning commission, I reached out to Steve Schnell, because his whole role, and you know, the funds that we're giving him, is comparing, you know, our ordinances, our zoning, and you know, barriers that he could help municipalities remove for Charlotte County. And I asked him, compare our ordinance to other local municipalities, and he got back with me and did say that ours is very restrictive compared to the other municipalities in the area that allow for shared driveway usage on the private drives.
So how one more question then, Scott. How does this affect Fox Run? It doesn't?
No, that's developed a whole different set of rules that how the Mobile Home Commission has. So they're kind of regulated by them, and we don't really have any control over those.
Okay. Anything else, Mark?
No.
George?
No, I like, as Tom said, I like the idea of making the lots a little more affordable, you know, in the long run for other people who are full support.
Okay. I am too, so I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to consider the recommendation from Planning Director Scott McPherson to authorize staff to schedule a second reading for the proposed zoning text amendment for the City Commission agenda on or after April 12, 2022.
Okay. So your second?
Second.
Second. Any other discussion? Jessica?
Needhammer.
Aye.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Moody.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, moving along to the turf fertilization contract extension.
For a number of years, we've been working to improve our grounds and many of our parks by having them fertilized. And we've been using Northern Green Lawn North for a number of years now to do that. And they fertilize for roughly about 30 acres of city-owned property. Their services are for the cost of $15,505 on pricing of three step slow release fertilization programs. I think we originally had more, but this company basically said you didn't need it, and better for the lawn and the budget if we eliminated one of them. So the company has performed well throughout their last three seasons that they've worked with us. Recently, they provided us with an extension request for their services for the upcoming season. Similar to last season's service, with an increase of 5.1% factored into the increase to cover employee and material costs versus last year. As such, the cost of these services would be $14,710. The $15,505 was the original price that they gave us 3 years ago. So that's still less than the original bid that we got from them in 2019. We do have money budgeted for this in previous budgets and would be included in for under Parks and Rec in the coming year's budget. So it's my recommendation that the City Commission approve a one-year extension and award a purchase order contract to Northern Green Lawn North for the 2022 turf fertilization services in the amount not to exceed $14,710 and authorize me to complete the necessary paperwork.
Okay, thank you. Any comment from other department heads or the public? Barb?
Do we really need to fertilize? I'm just saying because right here you're right on the water. You know, rainwater in front of the valley to the lake. Also because, you know, given the summertime, you're going to see, which I saw after they fertilized once last year, you've got kids crawling on the grass and then sitting out and putting their hands in their mouth. You've got dogs. When we first moved here, we had a lawn fertilized. And then we quit. And we watered it. Like you guys water, you couldn't save money by not fertilizing. I don't know. I mean, do you need to? Do you have to fertilize? I mean, the grass will be green. You might have some dandelions, but
that question can be answered in a lot of ways. It's been a successful program for the city for a number of years. As far as I know, there's been no issues, health issues, or anything.
No, I think Barb might have noticed, they put signs out when they fertilize it, and the stuff's derived very quickly. There's been a significant change in the quality of our landscaping and lawns since they've started fertilizing and doing weed control as well. I think it looks a lot different in a much better way. Do you have to do it? No, we don't have to do it. But I think, especially with this company and the years we've worked with them, as mentioned, they've taken out one of their original four treatments because they didn't think it was necessary to come up with a balanced approach. So I do recommend that we continue.
All right, Tom?
And I think every year they've assured us that it's an environmentally safe product that they're using, so it does not have a negative effect on the lake, on the water table.
Why don't you just continue, Tom? Are there other comments or questions?
I'm in support. I think it makes our city lawns look great.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree. Is it something that is needed? I do know they do the signs. And I do know it's an environmental friendly fertilizer that they utilize.
Marty?
Yeah, I think the difference to your point, Barb, is the use. I mean, I think the fertilizer definitely helps with the use that the parks get and everything like that. So, yeah, I'm in support of it. We use the same one in the office.
Yeah, I've used them for years, and a huge difference in the grass. And I also have my irrigation tubes with water, you know, every night. And the grass is thicker, healthier, less weeds, stands up to traffic much better. And it makes a big difference.
Okay. Okay, I support the recommendation as well, so I entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to recommend the city manager Michael Kane to approve contract extension of 1 year and award purchase order contract to Northern Green Lawn North for the 2022 turf fertilization service in an amount not to exceed $14,710, and authorize the city manager to execute the necessary documents.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
Support.
Marty supports. Any other discussion? If not, Jessica?
Lassiter.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. Now we move to the recreation grant application and schedule a public hearing. Mike?
At their meeting this coming Thursday, the Park and Recreation Board is going to be considering options for applying for state recreation grants. And we're going to have representatives there from our recreation consultants, Beckett and Rader. And they've come up with community input with plans for the open space and also for avalanche. Most of these grants that we're applying for from the state are due on April 1st, and they do require a public hearing. And I think the most likely opportunity is for us to have a viable application be prepared before the deadline for applications would be for either a portion of the open space and or avalanche improvements. So to keep our options open, I would recommend that the City Commission schedule a public hearing to be held at our next meeting on March 22nd for this purpose. At that time, the City Commission could consider possible recommendations from the Park and Recreation Board, receive any public input on them, and before the Commission makes any determination on whether to apply or not. So it's my recommendation that the City Commission schedule a public hearing to be held at our March 22nd meeting and to receive any public input on the grant applications. I would note that that is a noon meeting, and in my options that I gave the Commission, if the Commission felt it was necessary, we could change that to a 7 p.m. meeting if the Commission felt more comfortable with it.
Thank you, Mike. Any other staff comment? Public comment? Okay, we can move to the board deliberation. George, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I guess as far as moving to the subject line meeting time, are you anticipating any major pushback from the community on this? I can't see that there would be.
No.
So I guess.
No, I mean, both of the improvement plans have been through the Park and Recreation Board could come with something else, but with the short time that we have to work with the limited staff that we have ability, I think we almost have to go to, if they're going to do anything, apply for any of these funds this year, we have to go something that we pretty much have off the shelf, and that would be the open space and or avalanche, where we've had plans that have had a lot of public input in the process. So I would not anticipate, and again, the commission is always going to be able to judge what projects are recommended to it. And if you feel that there's something that you're not sure on, you just don't move forward with it.
Okay. Tom?
I would support.
Tim?
I would support as well. I was curious, because this has changed from the change to the recreational grant application. I was just wondering, the avalanche being on there, and would we be applying to two different grants, or would the open space and avalanche be competing for those grants?
That part of the discussion I think Park Board would have, and then this would come back to this group, is I think I mentioned in the past when we applied for grants about this time last year to the state, the commission at that time basically directed staff to keep focused just on on the open space. That was the priority. Now this group, you may get a different recommendation. I'm not sure what the park board is going to come up with at this point. But if you do submit multiple applications, there is a possibility that they would compete against themselves.
So a follow-up to that, would it make more sense to focus your efforts on, we had this conversation last time. I'd like to finish the project before we start another one. So that's my opinion on that. But I guess, can we pick one? Can we say, let's go this direction? I mean,
do so. In my opinion, that's putting the process backwards. I mean, you have advisory committees to make recommendations.
No, I mean that, but like when they submit for that grant.
Oh, let's say,
so the state's basically saying, the state's looking at, okay, Boyne City wants Avalanche, they want open space, let's give them Avalanche, but really we want an open space to complete the project.
I'm not sure. I know we were able to do that with the county applications that we did. I don't recall any language in the state applications where they allow you to do that. Scott, do you think of anything? I can't think of anything with regards to it. And this is a change from the original agenda, because when I was talking to Tim from Beckett and Rader, he basically reminded me that we also have the option with regards to the open space, I mean, the Avalanche. I just want to be as transparent as I could with the commission. So.
Well, what does the commission want to see? Does the commission have a problem?
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is just housekeeping, so we can get to that step.
Yeah,
I think the point Mike was making, Tim, is that the previous commission
was focusing
on the open space, and he just wants the opportunity for this commission in a different direction that's open to them.
That's what I'm saying.
I support this as well. So I would entertain a motion to schedule a public hearing for the recreation grant application.
Make a motion to approve a public hearing to be held on March 22nd, City Commission meeting, to receive public input on any possible recreational grant applications.
Second that. Okay, George seconded. Any other discussion? Jessica?
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, we move to scheduling the joint board and commission meeting in 18 hours.
You don't have to leave. Yes, we finally came up with a date, which is tomorrow, that it appears that all five city commissioners could attend. As I mentioned in response to Commissioner Nemechek's question earlier in the meeting, it looks like we'll have good attendance for that, so I would recommend that the commission go ahead and schedule that for tomorrow at the starting time of 6 o'clock.
So, in there?
Here. Oh, there's going to be too many people that try and have it in there.
And you'll have the agenda and everything prepared?
I mean, you have the agenda pretty much there.
The 2018 meeting.
Yeah, Jessica's updated that already.
I missed that, I'm sorry. Was that one of the revisions?
No.
Did they give us enough notice time for public opening?
Just.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We'll just, Marty made a motion to schedule the 24 meetings for a second.
Sir.
Any other discussion? Jessica?
Conklin.
Aye.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, so now it's time for us to adjourn to our regular meeting and move to a closed session. The discussion of collective bargaining strategy is provided in NCL 15.2-3 of the Michigan Open Meetings Act. I'm making that motion.
Support.
Is there a roll call vote?
So Moody was my second?
Yeah.
All right. So then Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Usually when we have these types of circumstances, I'm not anticipating the commission needing to take any action when we come back into open session.
Uh-huh.
We go through the good of the order just in case anybody's watching or listening or wants to participate in that at this point.
Okay,
we'll just go to the public. So that'd be my recommendation.
So, are there any items of good of the order, commissioners? Okay, so being done, we're going to move to our closed session.
Yeah, for this one, we would go into the other room, the parking room.
And we will return here
to
close the regular meeting.
That is correct.
Yeah, you can leave your stuff here if you want.
Yes.
Good morning. Thanks for hanging in there.
I don't know anything.
I don't think I've ever seen him.
See, this guy can introduce himself, so it's always nice to keep an eye on the new guys.
He bought the Vermont Bridges house.
But then
I am worried about the other departments, like you said, Hugh, but I think that
oh, yeah.
I think there's an argument to be made for, you know, everybody deserves a floor or something. Right.
Make it concerning the different areas.
Right.
Okay, so I would entertain a motion to call the regular meeting back to session.
I'll make a motion to go back into open session.
Or Jessica?
This can be a
voice vote.
Yep.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Entertain a motion to adjourn the regular meeting.
I'll make a motion to adjourn the regular meeting.
Second.
Support.
All those in favor?
Wait, who's my second?
Me.
Oh, okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?